I'm glad you joined to praise and worship. You know, one thing about when we come into the house of God is, you know, God told us we're in a war. And so we're supposed to be singing warfare songs. You guys who like to lay on the floor and worship, that's, you should do that at home. Because right now that isn't doing anybody that's really bound up, anybody that's fighting with every breath they have to make it, they need these type of songs. They need to release. They need to put that out there and release. And laying nice quiet songs is not going to make it. God's been telling us that for quite some time now. We need to understand, don't push what you want on somebody else. With myself, I listen to my quiet praise music at home. But whenever God says have certain music in the church, I have certain music in the church. And I don't try to push on you what I'm doing, what I'm going through. My job is to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And if I do that, well, then the people will be free. I don't have a preconceived notion of what's going to happen in any service. I just come in, I just say, God, this is your church. You all know I always prepare a message. If God wants to give it, fine. If he doesn't, fine again. I just assume he did his thing. It's better than my thing. But any message I prepare is because he's told me that's what he wants me to do. And because I said this, because the body of Christ, as I was sitting there, God said the body of Christ is, no, what he said was there's anxiety everywhere. He says the people are anxious about everything. And since you're anxious about everything, sitting here with a quiet song is not going to help you. I wished it did, but it won't. I've been in this long enough to know that, you know, how to do this thing and how God wants it done. This morning I'm going to teach it on John Ramirez's Unmasking the Devil, because evidently the body of Christ still doesn't understand that we are in a warfare, that there is a real devil and there's a real battle going on. Because too many people are getting all in a twit because things aren't going the way they think they should go. And if you're a leader, you need to be understanding what God is saying and doing, and you need to be led by the Spirit of God so that the people are set free. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're out in the street evangelizing. You have to have the Spirit of God, and you have to be listening to God's voice and doing what God's telling you to do so that the people are set free. Now, a lot of people think they can partake in sin and still be used by God, but that's not true. If you want to be used by God, then what you have to do is get your life cleaned up 100%. 100%. Because he can't use you if you're going to go dabble in sin and then go out and try to teach somebody. The Word of God said, you both fall in a ditch. The blind lead the blind, you both fall in a ditch. So your life is going to have to be 100% cleaned up. And if your life, if you're trying to get yourself 100% cleaned up, then that means you're being fought like crazy. I was going to use the other word. I mean, you know, the devil's after you with everything he has. He doesn't have pitchforks, by the way. He has a lot of weapons, and he's throwing them at the body of Christ right now, today. And what God's told me is he's not going to quit. It's going to get worse. But he's been telling us now for, what, 10 years or so that this gross darkness was coming across the earth, but he was going to keep those who were his. We can't be given in to every wile the evil one. We have to be standing our ground, solid ground. People are going to come against you. They're going to revile you just like they did Jesus. They're going to say all manner of evil about you. They're going to say, oh, and you call yourself a child of God. They're going to go on and on and on and on and on. But you have to stand your ground, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much you cry when you're all alone. You have to stand your ground. And I, in all the years I've been preaching, I've never seen it as bad as it is right now. Any of you have been in it for a length of time, you know you've never seen this much darkness. And I honestly believe with every fiber of my being, well, I know that we are living in the end times, and I know that we are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. That's about as plain as the nose on your face. And if you read the word, you're going to find out a lot of people didn't make it with the first coming of Jesus. And a whole lot of people aren't going to make it in the second coming of Jesus. But that doesn't have to be you. You can be a strong tower that God can pull on and God can use. You can be a strong tower that God can send out there and face the enemy head on and still win the battle. And you know, I often think about, it says, and Jesus went away to the mountain and he left his disciples behind. What do you think he did when he went to the mountain? He cried to his Father. He was human like you and I. And he said, Father, I just know, he said, Father, this is hard. He even said that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he finally had to take his cross. This is hard and I really don't want to do it. But if it's your will, Father, I'll do it. Each one of you are going to have to get that mindset today. God, this is so hard, but I can't compromise. I have to keep going. I have to finish my race. I'm hearing God says, this is such a volatile time. And things are going to be exploding and erupting all around about us all the time from now on. Are you able to carry the cross? Are you able to take the blows that Satan throws at you just to save a soul? Because we know this is all about souls. It's not about your reputation. It's not about you being heard or seen. It's all about a lost soul. All right? I hope and I pray that each one of you this morning have made up your mind that you're going all the way with God, no matter what hell throws at you. And we know that hell comes at us through our friends, the brothers and sisters we sit beside in church, the people in the grocery stores, the doctor's office. The enemy has his friends, his tools everywhere. I should say his vessels everywhere. You're not going to be able to escape the darkness. It's going to be around you. But your light is supposed to be so bright that you're supposed to dispel the darkness, right? Where are you going to run and hide? Where there's no place to run and hide. Your light has to be bright and it has to dispel all darkness. Come on. I had Nancy put that little cartoon up about how you get your own way is to be offended. You know, and I've never seen the body of Christ that gets offended at every drop of the hat. You are not, I don't care how much you praise and worship God. I don't care how much you love God. God cannot use you if you're always offended. He can't. Because the enemy will always take you out and God can't trust to send you anywhere. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy knows that you can be offended and he'll use somebody to offend you anywhere you go. And then there you are. You don't have a testimony anymore because you just became offended. You're going to have to let go of these things. Totally let go of them. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to crucify your flesh more times than you ever thought you would. You might crucify your flesh 10 times a day. If you're going to finish this race, you're going to have to turn your heart this morning that no matter what hell has, throw at me, I'm going forward and I'm not going to stop. And we have to quit trying to make the Spirit move. The Spirit moves, it says, wheresoever it wills. God will do the works that he wants to do. All we have to be is pure, open vessels of honor that he can work through. Father, I truly do thank you for those who sacrificed and came out this morning to sit in your house instead of sitting in their houses. I thank you, Father God, that you bless these people that came out here and you bless the ones that are watching. But Father God, the ones that came out, you know that they are so hungry and thirsty and you're going to satisfy that hunger and that thirst. And this morning, Father God, I'm asking that you really open up their spiritual hearts. Let them see what you see, Father, and open up their spiritual eyes and let them see through your eyes, Father. And Father God, let us be vessels of clay that you can remold at any given second. Let us be vessels of honor, Father God, that give you honor and glory no matter where we go. And Father, I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, let's start this teaching about Red Alert for Warfare. Now, this John Ramirez, he was a Satanist, and he's turned evangelist. I forget how many years he was a Satanist, but he was God's number three man, and he worked for the devil with all of his heart. And he has another book called Out of the Devil's Cauldron. Is that what it's called? And it tells about how he was saved and got out of what Satan had him doing into working for God. But he also tells about how once he left the devil, what the devil did to him, because the devil was upset because he had the audacity to leave him. And the man went through pure hell, but he stayed the course. And he's working the mighty works for the Father, going around evangelizing, telling the people how real the devil really is and the power and authority that we give the devil all the time. Come on. I don't know about you, but in my walk with God, I know the devil's real. I've had face-to-face conversation with him three different times. He's a very handsome man, long blonde hair and blue eyes. He's not a devil like they portray him, you know, with forks and horns and this and that and the other. And each time we had a conversation, he always threatened to kill me. But God always told me he couldn't kill me. He could turn me every which way but loose, but he could never kill me. So you have to understand that in your life, too, if you're going to walk for God. The devil's after you with everything he has. And he's out to kill you, spiritually and physically. See, the trouble is nobody counts the cost. They just think it's exciting. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I did too. And we don't count the cost of how once we say, here I am, Lord, use me. The devil heard that. Now the devil's after you. All right? John Ramirez was an evangelist for the dark side for 25 years and recruited many to the religion, you know, his religion. John enjoyed dominating the spiritual realm against Christians, the church, and many other religions. In his satanic mind, if he could control the region, he could control the people. He came conquering like his daddy, the devil, to kill, to steal, and to destroy many. If you haven't read his books, I would really get his books and read them. They're really interesting. But on the same night he died, this is whenever he got born again. But on the same night he died in the Bronx, he was born again, raised up a new creation in Christ Jesus, and armed with a new commission. This was his new commission, to destroy the works of the devil and expose him so that many souls could be set free. So he was sort of like another Paul. Paul's commission was to go kill the Christians. And then once Paul was saved, then he was out to save the Christians. John Ramirez's job was to kill the Christians. But once he was saved, then he was out to save the Christians. Amen. Ramirez tells us the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to convince the world he didn't exist. Do you know how many people do not believe there is a hell? Do you know how many, there's a lot of people who believe the devil does not exist. I was thrown out of a church because I said there was a hell. And there was no such thing according to that church. If the devil can't convince you that he is just a myth and he doesn't exist, his next move will be to invade your life with all the hidden powers of hell, unseen but deadly. And this is what he does. When Jesus walked the earth, he warned us that the devil has a three-pronged mission to kill, steal, and destroy. But then he added these precious words, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Yes, the devil is real and very powerful, but there is someone more powerful than he, which is Jesus, the Son of God. And this is what he wrote in this book. I'm just reading what he wrote in the book, okay? Ramirez goes on to say, together we will explore the reality of spiritual warfare and what it means to be a true soldier of the cross. That is military language for good reason. You and I are in a war, an unseen spiritual war that rages all around us all the time. We are in a war of darkness versus light, good versus evil. I should know, for 25 years I fought on the side of darkness, climbing the ranks of Centurio, Palo, and Mayo Beer, whatever that is. Yeah, thank you, hon. And spiritualism, until I was the devil's number three man in New York City, casting spells and plunging whole neighborhoods into Satan's grip. You can read my testimony in the book Out of the Devil's Cauldron. As an ex-devil worshiper, I believe the day you are born, you start to die. You haven't yet said your first words. You haven't taken your first step. But as soon as you breathe your first breath, the devil has assigned a demon to chase after your life. Let's stop there. God told me that when you're born, there is a good angel and a bad angel standing there waiting for you to come out of the mother's womb. And whatever angel gets your hold of your foot first is the one who possesses you. All right? And this is what he says here. Isn't that what he said? In John 10:10, a thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. From the first breath you take, the devil and his demons' plans are to keep you away from the truth of knowing where you came from, away from knowing that you were designed to have a relationship with your Creator, Jesus Christ, and away from knowing that at the end of the journey, you are to return to where you came from, eternity with God. The devil's trying to make you, how many of you know from your life, you know the enemy always trying to make you believe that you weren't worthy or that, you know, you were never going to go to heaven. I mean, that's his job and he does it very well. The plan of the enemy, whether you live in the penthouse or the ghetto, is to get you back home with him. And this is what John Ramirez tells about how the devil really tried to get him back. He just about killed John Ramirez. I think he killed one or two members of his family, trying to scare him into coming back into the devil's place. There was a discussion in heaven before. Now listen to this. There was a discussion in heaven before he gave you a birthday, you know, Jesus, and sent you into time. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. We all know that God has showed us that we all come from heaven. We were up there living alive and well. And God called us into his throne room, had a conversation with us, and asked us to come down to heaven to do a works for him. And we agreed. And that's why we're here. And this is what he says, right? Ramirez goes on to say, let me bring you into the enemy's kingdom and the strategy of the devil in a deeper way. The first thing the enemy attacks is your mind. Now, how many times have we preached on the mind? The enemy knows that the battle is in the mind, and he knows if he can capture the territory of your mind, your thoughts, and the way you operate, he's got you in a stronghold. You guys that do deliverance, see that? The next move he makes will be to attack your soul. This includes your mind, will, and emotions. Once he's got a person's soul, he will paralyze that person and bring them down to nothing. He has done this for centuries. He did it with Adam and Eve and with their son Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. He did it with King Saul, who committed suicide, and with Judas Iscariot, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and later committed suicide. So you see all these characters in the Bible all murdered or committed suicide. The dark side. And Romans 12:1-2 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, the reason why I opened, had God spoke through me and opened up the way he did was because of how what we're teaching. He had to get your attention, I assume. So you would listen to what he had to say, what this young man had to say. All right, doing this, you know, transforming, letting God transform you into a new person, doing this will keep you in the perfect will of God and out of the hands of the enemy who wants to destroy your life. Are you listening here this morning? The devil only wants to kill you. He only wants to destroy your life. He has never had anything good, any good intentions towards you. None. Jesus, on the other hand, only wants the very best for us. If we could only get that through our little thick minds, we would be better people. Then he says, inside the mind of an ex-devil worshiper. In the 25 years I served the dark side, we had a strategy and militant game plan to take over neighborhoods and regions. See that? You know, if you lived overseas, you know they're a devil, right, Ijeoma? They know there's devils over there, don't they? All right, you know that too? Yeah. See, they know. They walk the streets over there, don't they? From everybody, all the ministers went over there, said the devils literally walk the streets over there. And your people know there's a devil, and you know he's real. I wished America would understand that. Then we would be better off if we understood that what we're really fighting. See, this is why you two ladies have got to get out there and do a work for God. You have to spread the news like John Romero says, that there is a devil and there's a heaven and a hell. And really, you know, if you let God be with you and do that, he will get it out there. Well, people will listen to what you have to say. Okay. Or I said, let's read that again. In 25 years I served the dark side, we had a strategy and militant game plan to take over neighborhoods and regions. Because if you can take over these territories, listen to what he's saying, you can paralyze the churches in the spirit realm. We did most of our work during the night when, see what he says? We did most of our work during the night when Christians were sleeping. How many of you said you get awake about 3 o'clock in the morning and all hell is in your room? I am compelled to write this chapter because I feel called to be a watchman on the wall to bring an alertness to the church. It is time to wake up and take over what the devil has stolen from us, our neighborhoods, our communities, even the very state or country where we live. America is under siege, and we need to be doing our work. And I think if we read this book, we'll find out how to pray for America and get America out of the devil's hands. I don't know about you, but I'm really on alert about what's going on in America. I'm really concerned about how the devil is slowly but surely creeping in and taking all of our values from us. And the church needs to be about our business, and we need to be doing something about it. Right? For example, the riots that started, now listen to what he says here. For example, the riots that started in New York City over racial unrest spread from New York to Ferguson in Missouri, and then it went down to Baltimore. These are demonic forces that are being transferred from one region to another. See this? These are patterns and cycles of the devil. How we combat this in the spirit realm. Okay, let's just stop there. The Indians, we've been working, Delaware's been working for the Indians for quite a few years. We've been apologizing to them and everything for what we've done to them. And what he says in this made me immediately think about that, how we stole from the Indians. Now, these are patterns and cycles of the devil. How we combat this in the spirit realm as believers. This is how we're supposed to do it. As soon as we see something like this manifest, we dismantle it through prayer and fasting in the spirit realm so it will not carry over to other locations that will affect our generations. All right, the minute we see something going on in Delaware, we should be fasting and praying over it so it doesn't go and affect Pennsylvania, New Jersey. See what he's saying? Even in your own home. I learned a lot through reading this book, even about my own home. I taught on this when he first came on the scene, but that's been years ago. And God had me bring it down off the shelf again. And I even have to start doing warfare in my own home because the enemy has come in and taken territory in my home. And I imagine some of you are the same way. If you have more than yourself living in your home, the devil's come in and taken territory in your home, and you're going to have to get that territory back. To defeat the enemy and his game plan, we need to curse it, cut it, and uproot it. We need to curse it, cut it, and uproot it. We accomplish this through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. As a demonic high priest at night, I would leave my body. So, you know, I don't know if I want to leave my body and go to heaven or not after reading this. I might get, you know, somebody, the devil might counteract that, right? So as a demonic high priest at night, I would leave my body and fly over neighborhoods, hurling taunts and curses down on the people who lived within their borders. See that? Caught in the grip of strange dreams, as he just said that, I would feel myself being transported into different neighborhoods within the five boroughs of New York City. These out-of-body experiences called astral projection allowed me to have dominion over the communities. I felt diabolical, like a vampire, and I knew they had nothing on me. Sometimes I would even land and walk around the neighborhoods, bringing curses, bad luck, and the witchcraft aura. See what's going on here? The devils are walking around. We had somebody come here one time and minister the pulpit because I wouldn't tell my people they had a tithe into her. She put a curse right over this pulpit, put a curse on this church. And then we even had a house sitting over here who had all kind of voodoo stuff in their window cursing this church. And God said the witches met once a week to curse this church. So, and then one time God said, you know, the warfare got really bad. And I said, God, what's going on? He said, the witches can't take you out. So they sent the warlock. Was it the warlocks? They sent the warlocks after you. So you're fighting warlocks now. This church has always been in combat with the devil from day one. But God has always showed us how to fight and how to win. Are you understand? I'm still standing. But if I wouldn't have been strong in the Lord, and if I wouldn't have been following God, you know, seeking his face constantly, I wouldn't be here. Are you understanding this? You just can't willy-nilly be a Christian. You have to be a soldier, a warrior in God's army, and learn how to fight. Oddly, however, in some neighborhoods, I met with strong resistance and at first couldn't understand where the opposing power came from. In these neighborhoods, people were waiting for me to land. I prepared to curse the neighborhood, but when I landed, a mob would chase me for blocks and I couldn't curse them. Frustrated, I would fly off again, hovering as high as the street lamps, and they would look up at me. Finally, I realized these were the nasty Christians praying for their neighborhoods, their communities, their families, the prayers of the people I hated the most. So really, if the enemy's coming over, you know, and he's gotten into your house, into my house, I wasn't praying properly. You know, I'm being honest. I wasn't praying properly, and I wasn't at my prayer post the way I should have been. So since he has access to this church, the prayer warriors in here are not praying properly and you're not at your post praying for the church. Chew on that. All right. And then he goes on to say, wherever these praying Christians lived, I couldn't penetrate the neighborhood. See that? I got in, but I couldn't do the evil acts I had come to perform. So I would move on to the next neighborhood. Are you listening here? The devil should never be able to penetrate this church, but he does. The reason why he does is because we're not praying properly. Your intercessor on Tuesday night should be in here just warring her face off. And everybody else should be in here not praying the way she's praying, but you should be praying too, that the enemy has no place in this church. And God showed me when I quit coming to prayer meeting, it was when the door was open for the enemy to come in here and start trying to destroy the church. Think about that. All right, to destroy the works of the devil, there are some strategic things believers can do at strategic times and places. Let's take a look at some of them in this next section. So I want to go on to say, too, so what's going on in your home? Why are you allowing the enemy to have entrance into your home? You can't blame it on the devil. It's you. Because he just said, this guy who lived for the devil for 25 years, he just said if the people were praying, he could not do any, if he got in the house, he couldn't do anything. Come on. It's time you get serious about your walk with God. It's time you quit blaming the devil, and it's time you quit expecting everybody else to do your work for you. It's time you learn to pray for yourself and keep your home covered, your children covered. He says, as a practicing warlock, I used to do an unusual thing. Now listen to what he says here. Something that most people outside of the demonic world have never heard of. It is called locking down the corners of a neighborhood. This practice needs to be exposed. First, let me explain what this means. Twice a year, past midnight, my fellow high-ranked devil worshipers and I would go into the neighborhoods the devil assigned to us. See, the devil assigned them neighborhoods and stand at an intersection and do a blood ritual to conquer that territory. We called it possessing the land. Because the four corners represent the north, the south, the east, and the west, and also the crossroads of the world or the crossroads of someone's life. You know, they can do that to someone's life. You, an individual. At the beginning of the year, we locked it down, and in the middle of the year, we reinforced the ritual. There are two reasons why we did this. One, if you went into a witchcraft fight with a high-ranking witch or anyone in the witchcraft world, you already had the upper hand over the person you opposed because you already conquered that territory, so they couldn't put witchcraft on it. It was their territory. Number two, that is how the principalities of that region from the first and second heavens operate. What heavens? The first and the second. Through those gateways and portals. Why do you think God's been telling us to come to the third heaven? Because he knows that Satan has the first and the second heaven all conquered. It's his. He wants us to go to third heaven where he can instruct us on how to defeat the enemy. How many of you go to the third heaven? Or do you just sit down and start praying, never saying, God, I'm coming up into the third heaven where I'll sup with you and you can instruct me. Number three, if you wanted to do witchcraft against someone, you had already locked down the person's crossroads or his life, his community, or his travels, so you could destroy the person three ways. And so if you moved to Europe, I would still get you. An individual. Why do you in here still have bad habits? Why do you think you still have bad habits? The enemy has locked you down. Isn't that what he just said? If you wanted to do witchcraft against someone, you had already locked down the person's crossroads or his life, his community, or his travels, so you could destroy the person three ways, you know, through his community, his travels, and what was the other one? So, and if you move to Europe, he'll still get you. You can't get away from him. You're going to have to unlock yourself from what the devil has done to you. Why do you still drink? Why do you still smoke? Why do you still do drugs? Why do you still watch pornography? The enemy has locked you down. Isn't that what he just said here? As believers today, we need to tear down these strongholds and the spiritual satanic wars that have been unleashed in our neighborhoods. How do we do this? I recommend that Christians go to main intersections or areas of our communities and pray and break those rituals, you would see a change in the atmosphere in your communities. Remember when we first used to do that? We used to do that. And we didn't have all the demonic activity we have now. Now we don't do that. Everybody's forgotten about that. Oh, well, we did that. You know, it's fine. You don't do it once and forget about it. They didn't, did they? So what we had to work complaining about what's going on in our neighborhoods, we need to go around and start praying over our neighborhoods. And unlock them and give them to God and let God, the blood of Jesus, cover them. All right? He goes on to say, I have a friend who is a pastor in Florida, and after I shared this knowledge with him from my past, he was led by the Holy Spirit to go out to a major intersection in the city and destroy the strongholds. Where'd he go? The major intersection to the city and destroy the strongholds that had been put up by the witches and warlocks in his area. See that? The pastor went and did something. As a believer matures in the faith, he or she should develop spiritual discernment and learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to his promptings. I suggest you ask the Lord to show you how to take down the strongholds of your city or your home. You know, Satan used to come to my bedroom every night, and finally I just told him he can't do that. And I posted the angels, I did what I had to do, and he no longer comes into my bedroom. This is not your place. This is not your house. It's not your home. This is belongs to God, and you're trespassing. You know, I went through everything I had to go through. Locked my room down so Satan couldn't come in. The church needs to rise up over the power of darkness, period. We need to attack them from our position in the third heaven. See what he says? Seated with Jesus Christ. This is still John speaking. Higher than the highest in the heavens, a position of all authority over the kingdom of darkness so we can take our country back. He said, our country back. We as believers in Christ need to be living in righteousness and holiness, not being in bed with the devil or the world. Then we will have the victory. I'm going to be teaching on how to work with the glory. And the biggest thing is love, compassion, long-suffering. And if you don't have those, then you're not going to be able to defeat the enemy either. We as believers in Christ need to be living in righteousness and holiness, not being in bed with the devil or the world. Then we will have the victory. The reason why these demonic activities are happening is because the church is not being the church. See that? Praying corporately and individually together as one in Christ. You talk to pastors and some say, well, I would like to, you know, us to join together, but really all in all they want is you to come and help them build their church. It's not really wanting to work in unity. You know, in every church grow. It's they want you to help build their church. When I used to astral project over neighborhoods to curse them in the spirit realm, the saints in prayer would chase me out of there. Would chase me out of their neighborhoods, and I was ineffective to accomplish my mission. In a spiritual sense, those praying believers were like the remnant of Israel that returned to Jerusalem with Nehemiah to rebuild the crumbling walls of the city. I remember God told me 2 years ago, start rebuilding the walls. And so what he was saying is pray like you've never prayed before. Fast like you never fasted before. Get the devil out of your houses, out of your communities, out of your churches. We are not doing our job, and this is why the election fell through. The church was not at their post. This is why the things are going on in the United States that's going on. The church is not at their post, praying like we ought. Well, I'll just say a pastor preach. He really gave a good sermon. Why weren't you praying? You've heard enough sermons. You've read enough of your Bible. Oh, still read your Bible, but you've heard enough sermon. Why aren't you praying? Why aren't you on your knees praying, interceding, and defeating the devil at every turn? You know, I'm sorry, but this is just the way it is today. You've got to understand that you're in war. And God showed me it's too many Christians are dying because they don't understand they're in warfare, or they know they're in warfare and they're too lazy to fight. The devil has brought down the spiritual walls of this country, and we as a church need to start building up those spiritual walls like the Israelites did. What they did in the physical, we need to start doing in the spiritual. They all got together in one accord in unity, and what's God been trying to get us to do? To get in unity, right? They got in one accord in unity, and each person decided to play a part together. building right next to each other. That doesn't happen. This church is too much jealousy, too much, well, I want to be bigger than the next person. I'm telling you the truth, that this is what God is upset about, and we need to get in unity, one mind and one accord. Who cares who does what, as long as the Spirit of God is the one that's doing it. Nehemiah 4:17 says they would build with one hand and hold a sword in the other hand. While the enemy through Sanballat and Tobias tried to discourage them and get them off their game plan so they could not accomplish the blessing of the Lord for their region. And this is what Satan's doing here, trying to get everybody in disunity, trying to get everybody looking at, you know, where they're at and jealousy and all that junk. And as long as you allow the enemy to do that, you cannot defeat the enemy. Come on. The enemy tried to bring distraction and fear upon God's chosen people, but the devil today has accomplished not only to bring down the walls, but he also has divided the church. You know, Larry used to always say to me, he said, the devil's been working for years and years and years to do what he's going to do in the next 2 years. He said he's not in no big hurry because he knows that we're not, that, you know, the church isn't doing nothing, and he knows that he can surprise us. And didn't that what he did? Came in with a big surprise, attacked the church. The church fell apart. I did read this morning, though, where there's more people going to church now than they were a year ago. So bet I hope they keep going to church and don't do like they did when 9/11 happened, went for a while, then quit. We need to be in the church. We need to be building the cities. The enemy tried to, is that where I'm at? No, where is a remnant today that will stand? We're supposed to be a remnant. Where is a remnant today that will stand under strong leadership like Nehemiah and say no to the enemy and yes to Jesus? We need to put ourselves and our own agendas to the side. What does he say here? Where is the remnant today that will stand under strong leadership? You know, you get under strong leadership and all of a sudden you want to be stronger than the leadership. And there is your disunity again. You see what I'm saying here? God knows who to put you under. He knows who can feed your spirit. And if we would just go ahead and let God feed our spirit through the leadership, whatever it is, then we would be strong people, and the devil couldn't tear us down. We would tear down the devil. All right, we need to put our own selves and our own agendas aside and get back together, united as one in Christ. We need to stop allowing the devil to divide us with names and titles and position. The greatest title in the kingdom is servant. God doesn't like titles, by the way. He told me that. It is time to pick up the towel, wrap it around our waist, and get to the battlefield. Do you know what that means? What did Jesus do? He girded himself with a towel, got a basin of water, and washed the disciples' feet. He was a servant. And this is what John Ramirez is saying. It's time to pick up the towel, become a servant, wrap it around our waist, and get to the battlefield. I remember when I was a warlock in the demon world, we used to have these meetings once a year, coming together to take over the spirit world, attacking, dismantling, and paralyzing everything that had to do with good that opposed evil. Let's read that again. I remember when I was a warlock in the demon world, we used to have these meetings once a year, coming together to take over the spirit world. Take over what? The spirit world. Attacking, dismantling, and paralyzing everything that had to do with good that opposed evil. We would destroy anything that was ready to give birth spiritually so it would not manifest, not allow that person to fulfill their destiny. Do you see what they did? They were methodical. Once a year they came and prayed against you. And then they keep you bound all year long because you don't know you're in a warfare, or you know you're in a warfare, you don't understand about the warfare, you don't understand how to fight. Why do you think John wrote his books? Why do you think God brought this man out to write these books? To give us the weapons that we need to fight. And like I said, I don't know when he first wrote these books, but as soon as they came out, God had me teach on them. There's no date on that. But now we're back to these books again. We're back to spiritual warfare again in the worst way. And we need to learn from somebody who's been there and done that. And he's trying to tell us what they did and how we can combat it. Whatever region, whatever domain, whatever city or country or community or people or church, before they reached their peak, we would kill it and cut it at the root. What do you think he's trying to do to the lighthouse? He's trying to kill us and cut us at the root, because he knows God's getting ready to bring his glory in all of its fullness. His glory's always been here, but it hasn't come in its fullness yet. It used to be, but then he withdrew it from everybody, but it is coming back again. And how is he doing it? By having people in this church do stupid things. You know, God isn't going to drop his glory in his fullness until he's ready to drop it. And you can't force the Spirit of God to move, because the Spirit of God moves whenever it wants to. Are you understanding this? And if you're a leader, you're going to find out that people are going to oppose you. They're going to come against you, and they're going to try to make things happen before they happen for you, because they want to get all the attention. And this is what's going on all across the world in the body of Christ. And I hope that nobody in here is partaker of that, because it will destroy, it won't destroy this church, because this church is going to flourish. I already know that. But it will destroy your ministry. If the churches would realize how important the spirit world is, and I don't, the, most of the churches don't, and how much we need each other, and there is only one church in Jesus Christ, if we were to come together and fight the good fight against the kingdom of darkness, this would be a wake-up call to the world and many unbelievers as well as believers, and how would God's heart feel? You're not going to win anybody to Christ by being in competition with another Christian. The only way you're going to win anybody to Christ is by walking in the Spirit and only doing what the Spirit of God tells you to do. Let's stop the devil, he says, from bleeding us spiritually. It is time to get together and be the church of the living God. Instead of praying for jobs, big homes, cars, or strategies to make our church bigger, and perhaps these are good things, but I haven't seen or heard the church challenge its members to fight in the Spirit and be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Well, we do that. I'm always on your back, aren't I? Because I know what the devil is capable of. He has done it to me over and over and over again. But I also know that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that in your life? That no matter what he's throwing at you, you are the conqueror. He is not. He has no authority over you unless you give it to him. All right, Revelation 20 tells it all. We have a war in our hands through the power of the Holy Spirit to defeat and destroy anything spiritual that opposes the kingdom of our God. That is the mission that Jesus left on the earth for the church to accomplish, to set the captives free. Now, sad to say, the church has to be set free before it goes set the other captives free. Y'all seen this book? How many has read this book? You need to get the book, and you need to get both books. They're $15.99 apiece. The other one's called Out of the Devil's Cauldron. The first one is his testimony and some of the things he did. This one here tells you how he works and what the devil does. I mean, really, Out of the Devil's Cauldron is really a wonderful book. It's so eye-opening of what he did and then how the devil tried to destroy him because he left the devil's kingdom. So every one of you who were once working for the devil with everything that you had, and you decided, well, I'll just waltz on over here to Jesus, you're in for a fight. And it's not going to be pretty. And one time, whenever I said, God, what is going on in my life? He said, Satan has a hold of one of your arms. I have a hold of the other. This is a tug of war. It's up to you who wins the tug of war. So I can just about guarantee you, if you're really in a battle, the enemy has one arm and Jesus has the other. And he's telling you, come on, you can do it. And the devil's saying, come on, you can't do it. You might as well just give in because you're never going to make it. Well, is he a liar? Is the devil a liar, or is he not? Are you going to stay in your addictions, or are you going to let the Jesus win and not the devil? I don't care what your addiction is. It could be lethargy, you know. It's up to you. Who wins the battle? You see, I have been fought on all fronts with the devil ever since I became born again in 1980 or 78, where it was. I have been down, I think, every road he could possibly take me down. He's tried to kill me various times and has, and I've come back to life. But I'm still living. He's trying to kill me right now, but I'm still breathing, and I'm still going to breathe fire on you. I'm not going to stand before God and say, and have him say to me, why didn't you tell them? My hands are going to be clean of your blood. So are your hands clean of another soul's blood? Are you living the life for Christ that you're supposed to live and getting out there and speaking the truth to the people? Think about it. Just think about it. How strong are you really fighting? How strong are you really fighting? We have people in there this morning that need Jesus. Are they going to see enough of Jesus in you to receive Jesus, or do they don't want what you have because they already have what you have, which is nothing? These are serious questions you need to be asking yourself all the time. Come on. Don't ever give the devil any leeway. You stand your ground no matter what it costs you. You know, sometimes it's not nice when you're trying to get the devil out of your house whenever you allowed him in there because you thought you had to be Christ-like. You know, when you think you have to be Christ-like, you find out an awful lot of people take advantage of you. When you think you have to spread more love and more compassion, people start taking advantage of you. To the next thing you know, it's no longer your home, it's the devil's home. And then trying to get him out, I'm going to get him out of my home. It's one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. So what have you allowed in your home? What have you allowed in your life because you want to be Christ-like? Are you understanding this? Sometimes I've never been a person of confrontation. I've been very quiet, but all of a sudden I'm a person of confrontation and I'm very loud. I don't like it. But last night I was sitting there crying and God said, he let me see the picture of Jesus being in the temple, throwing the money changers out and overturning the tables. He said, my son got angry when sin was in the house. He said, you have sin in your house. You have a right to be angry. And I'm so glad I'm reading this book again, because this book is helping me now to take back my land. You know, whatever you allowed the enemy to have, you're going to have to take back if you want to live in peace and harmony. This morning, the altar is open for those of you who that you've allowed the enemy into your life, you know, into your home or whatever, into your jobs or whatever, in your monies, and you want to take back your ground. If you come up, God's going to put a strategy in you to take back the land that the enemy has stolen. And that's what the altar call is all about this morning.